Would you like to know more? Would you like to know more?
Welcome to War Master Podcast, episode 172 with Paul and Barry.
Hello, listeners. Today's title episode is How to Foster a Community.
Community. We've got a couple of recording devices today because
we learned
belt and braces. It's taken 172 episodes to think maybe we should have a backup because sometimes you kind of lose it because something goes wrong.
Yes.
I mean, that's happened multiple times. And it's taken 172 episodes
to learn through a second device.
So we'll see how it works.
We learn slowly.
So we've got my phone and we've got the very old dictaphone that we used to use right in the beginning. So
classic old school.
So we're going to talk a bit about stuff and then we're going to talk a bit about building a community.
Yeah, exactly. And this has come from a question that was sent in to us. Shall we read the question?
Well, later.
Later.
Okay, we'll talk about the main topic. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what we're going to talk about first, we had a summer.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about an epic event, but not today.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah, cool.
Paul's done about a million events, but we'll talk about them.
Well.
As part of what we're talking about today.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Did you get yourself away in the summer? Just to the just Wales?
So we went on the camping trip in Wales, and we also then a couple of weeks later spent a week up in the Wirral with Hannah's parents, who were also on the camping trip, so...
Yeah, but now we're post-COVID, so at least you can come out of quarantine.
Yeah, exactly.
Not behind the bubble wrap.
Yeah, exactly. And
although it was rough COVID, I mean, we laugh now because, I mean, hopefully we're through.
Yeah, I think so. If I work in a hospital and that's kind of yesterday's news at the moment.
A hospital is the only place I've seen anybody wearing anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're not wearing it anywhere now.
Yeah. So, see, we're talking masks here. Yeah. I mean, I get the train into work at the moment, you know, and there's like 10%, I suppose, are wearing masks of people commuting. Okay. You know, so it doesn't, like, yeah. Anyway,
I'm due my fifth jab or something crazy. I don't even know how many it is now. There's another one coming, isn't there,
for me? Yeah, there's the autumn one starting.
I don't even know how many it is. Four, five. I mean, losing count.
Well, this is the day. What's the date? The 6th of September. And the autumn jab has just then been launched because we're now in autumn.
Right, cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So more jab. Do you get one?
I don't think I'm offered it, no.
Oh, you're too young and fit.
Well, I guess so.
You need to get old like me.
I think this
flabby.
This one is to over 50s.
Yeah, those old timers.
Yeah, right?
We need looking after. We're precious. Mm-hmm. My precious. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be loads to talk about. We'll have to do a proper catch-up episode because...
Yeah.
Does Lord of the Rings is kicking around now?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't yet. I'm yet to watch that.
And House of Dragons.
And I'm yet to watch House of Dragon, yeah. Because I've been...
She-Hulk, but...
I don't think you should watch that.
I'm watching that. It's...
Oh, you are watching it?
Yeah, I watch most shit. Then we've got to talk about... I've got some really good Blood Bowl gossip. Like, really good.
Where did you get that from?
I went to this Fighting Fantasy Fest.
Yeah.
And I met a guy, I'm not going to mention his name, but I used to play with when I lived in London 15 years ago, 16 years
right,
ago.
Okay.
Who is like one of the elders and he playtested it. Yeah. Stuff, the new edition.
What, the 2020 edition?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And so some of the insight he had into the playtest process
found and that would be really interesting.
He was really good. But apparently, a shortcut, they've rebooted the person in charge now. So,
oh, okay.
It's not the same guy. Guy from the Lord of the Rings community.
Oh, okay.
We'll save that for another
time. Jay Clark.
It's a really good topic, and the insight was really good. Oh. It just goes to show what GW did in their playtest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm. And then I went away. So that was a couple of weeks away in Crete. That was nice. Hot.
Was it nice?
Yes.
I mean, did you just stay in the hotel?
But the funny thing was, for at least part of the time we were in Crete, it was hotter here.
Yeah.
No, seriously hotter here. Like, wet, not even remotely close. Like, 30 degrees there, like 36, 37, 38 here.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I commuted in London on both the above 40 temperature days. I mean, thankfully, the trains had air conditioning, but it was just...
It was mental.
It's like a wall, yeah.
When the outside is hotter than your inside, you're in trouble. Because how do you get cool when the outside's hotter than your inside?
I asked the Australian nurses at work, like, because they guess they're used to that, and they hit that temperature before. And I asked, like, well, so what do you do? And they said, well, you stay inside in your air-conditioned home.
Right. Yeah, well, you don't have air conditioning.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the problem, is we don't have air conditioning.
At all.
And it's like, if it's above, like, 40 degrees in Australia, you don't, like, go out and do stuff because it's too hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's very Britain, isn't it? Very, yeah, like...
Nothing works.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
2022 Britain, nothing works.
I mean, like, I think it was Grant Shapps said that, like, the amount of time it would take to make our infrastructure, like, better with heat would just be decades, basically.
So, I mean, the British way, the British way would be, where in the world is going to survive this better than us? Let's go take that. We'll go Tulip. We'll go Greenland or whatever the fuck it has to be. Mm. Come on, Greenland, you've got room for us.
Yeah.
There's only 70 million of us.
Let us in. Like,
we'll bring some Dyson
Ubers.
We'll
build New London here.
New Londinium.
Yeah, New Londinium. Let's go old school. Old school and new school.
But what I did, I mean, those hoplites, those Greek hoplites, you know, like back in the day.
Oh, right, okay, you're talking about, yeah, because you're in Crete, yeah.
They must have had it hard, man, because there's fucking no water there. There's seawater, but it don't rain. Might be rivers and reservoirs and shit around, but you know, and it's like nothing lives unless it's irrigated. Like artificially, nothing lives.
So on this holiday, did you spend it all in the pool or in the hotel?
You couldn't do anything but, could you?
Yeah, but it's just like, Barry, do you enjoy that?
It was interesting. I've not done a holiday like that. I've not done a holiday somewhere so hot.
I mean, it's like you're not meant to be there, are you then? It's that hot.
So they have a lot of pools.
Yeah, yeah.
And some and a swim up bar.
Yeah.
So literally you just never got out of the pool. You were in the pool from like morning till night.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, until it's
turned into Aquaman.
Yeah. Talking with the fishes. You can talk to the fishes, man.
So if it was here and just imagine your back garden was a swimming pool, you'd just be in there all the time, wouldn't you? That's why these Australian houses, they all have fucking swimming pools, I guess.
Yeah.
You don't need to heat.
Well, yeah, I mean,
you don't need to heat the pool. No, and then, in the afternoon the pool's like bath water.
Well, I don't know. I mean, like, just to me, that kind of holiday just sounds like torture in a sense. I don't know. I'm not one to just sit outside in the sun personally.
No, you're off piste. You're skiing.
Yeah,
and
I guess I don't know. Yeah. Like, I just it was definitely too warm in England, and the thought of like dying in some like hotel abroad is just
What are you gonna do, right? So you either die in England
yeah.
or you go somewhere where there's air conditioning.
Yeah.
And like
yeah, and then hide from the ball of gas in the sky that's trying to kill you. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but what happens when that ball of gas gets so hot that we don't have to worry about a few thousand people wanting to immigrate either and everywhere? There'll be millions and billions of people.
Yeah.
What are you gonna do? You can live in this place where it's like 50 degrees, you can't even fucking eat. There's no one to live.
Yeah.
I'm sure the kids are going to have a great future. I'm looking to get off this planet in about 20 years.
Yeah.
Leave it to the kids. I keep telling my kids, who are like late teenagers now, saying, you've got to sort this out, mate. Mm-hmm. My generation's missed. We fucked it up, man.
Yeah.
It's too late for us. What are we going to do? You've got to sort it out, you know? Yeah. Get on with it. Anyway.
Right, okay.
End of the world and all that good stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So, main topic. Attention! If you need to get your miniatures safely from point A to point B, then get yourself a KR Multicase. KR Multicases come in all manner of different shapes and sizes and have gamer-friendly pricing. So do yourself a favour and get yourself a KR Multicase today. Soft foam, hard cases.
Right, main topic.
Main topic.
I've even remembered to start both recorders, so we're good to go.
Good to go.
So what, we got an email from a listener.
Yeah, okay, so...
Oh, shit, we've got something to talk about.
Go on, then, go on.
We have to discuss the GW thing.
Okay, yeah.
Well, we can't tell you to say a lot, but we have to say something.
Well, you say what we're allowed to say.
Well, all we can say is that GW flexed their muscles a little bit.
Yeah.
And said, you can't have all this stuff we own, basically.
Right. Yeah,
all
these
pictures and shit that we own in this book.
Yeah. Okay.
Even though you don't sell this book. This book's just free. So we're not alone in this. Apparently they've gone on a rampage.
I imagine they're laying the groundwork because they've got Warhammer the Old World, like, as a game system.
Maybe. But, I don't think it's even just to do with Warhammer. I think they're just going after everything.
Well, I mean, it's their IP, isn't it?
Exactly. Do what you want, mate.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, it was just by the grace of God that they haven't come and asked earlier.
Yeah.
So, whatever.
Yeah.
So, if there's a little a little outage in being able to download stuff, Alice is going to sort it all out and he will produce a document that doesn't have IP problems.
Yeah.
And then it's done.
Yeah. Exactly. So,
yeah, mm-hmm. That's it.
Cool. Okay.
That's it. So what have we got?
So the email came from a Robert Sherman, I guess a German name, and it says, "Greetings, Barry and Paul.
I'm German? Well, how's the Sherman tank? Is no, it not, made not, by a German?
How, is that how you would read that?
Oh, yeah. But not spelled like Sherman tank.
No. So. You know, two N's for a start. Right, okay, so greetings, Barry and Paul. I'm looking to start a Warmaster community in my local area. Can you provide any advice for doing so? I was thinking about starting with 1,000-point game meetups and eventually having 2,000-point tournaments if there is an audience. I am in the States, San Diego, California.
Ooh.
So distance may be a factor for getting participants. Any advice would be much appreciated. I love the podcast. Keep them coming. All the best, Robert." There you go. So, okay. This is a topic that we can talk quite a bit about. So
like, well, you certainly can.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right. So, bit of background then. This year, I am the president of our gaming club.
Well, should we talk about that?
You can talk about that. Go on. Yeah, caveat. Go on, you've caveated it already.
So, in the same way as the British public kind of voted in a government that then changed leader midstream with a very limited amount of votes. Deciding on said new leader, Paul managed to somehow. The president was voted in December.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes, by as in the committee was voted on.
By the members.
Yes.
Members voted on said president. President takes up his.
No. The committee decided on the president.
I thought that we used to have to vote as people. You said
no. So the members voted on the committee.
Are you sure you're not mistaking it with the Conservative Party?
No, I'm not. All right. So the members voted on the committee.
Because I remember when you told me off because you wanted to be, and I didn't vote for you. And you said, "Why have you not voted for me? I changed your vote or something." Are you sure?
Okay. So the policy, at least for this year,
yeah, right,
was
good.
That the members voted on the committee, and then the committee decided internally who
on
was
the positions
going, on the positions, of which there was an internal vote.
And the winner was.
And winner was a guy called George.
Gorgeous George, who we've talked about on the podcast before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then Gorgeous George, after about 10 minutes, decided, "This is, how much am I getting paid? What, it's free? Yeah. I don't do anything. I'm not doing this."
He stopped communicating. And yes, after less than a month in the job of a 12-month contract, as in not contract.
Yeah, like a term of service. Term,
He essentially stopped communicating. I don't know if there's an issue between him and I don't know. But he just dropped. It's not like you get at times. Just stopped communicating.
Non-coms,
and resigned from being president. From being the president. And so there was a power vacuum. Obviously, the
nature of balls of vacuum. Like,
yeah. And so I had said, well, I was the only other person who had stood. I'm still willing because it's so recent. I'm still willing to be president. Does anybody want to stand against me? And essentially, that was a no.
Because you had the mountain next to you, or the hand, just waiting to.
No,
so
I mean,
managed to get the Game of Thrones.
Yes, yeah. In the Game
of Thrones. So he's in the Iron Throne.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, you're president now.
Yeah, I'm president. I am president. Yeah, that's right. And I have been. President.
And let me tell you, listeners, he's not shy of telling people he's president. You'd think somebody who's going through this tradesman's entrance would be a little bit humble about it, but oh no, he's loving it. It was like serious.
Okay.
Serious.
So
El Presidente.
Yeah, I mean it's I've wanted to be president for a while because I'm the club's like only original member left, like from when I was like.
Did your parents let you? I mean, you were young when you were going to that bunker.
Under 16, yeah.
Did they know what was going on in that bunker? Because you looked. There's a picture floating around of Paul.
Yeah. The picture.
Picture, and there's like some, not middle-aged men, but like late 20s, early 30s kind of men. Yeah. Men in a garage.
I wasn't being groomed.
The very, very young Paul.
Yeah. Oh dear. Just like subvert and convert everything straight away. Look at the sort, how can you make that more sordid? I wasn't being groomed.
But I'm sure they were a DBS checked or whatever.
Whatever. Yeah. Anyway, I've wanted to be president and, but there'd always been someone, let's say, more suitable to the role. And then generally I felt like this was my time to do it. And I'm happy. I mean, I'll do it like a year, and I don't have to do it another year. Like, because
nobody, let's be honest, mate, nobody wants to do it. I mean, Sherwin did it for a few years.
Yeah, he did, didn't he? Yeah.
But like, it really is a pain in the arse.
Yeah, no, and am I, as president, am I doing things that I wouldn't have done as committee? No, as in, like, it's really just a title for a title's sake. You know, and I haven't had to essentially deal with President Oney issues really at all.
So. Or blow-ups.
Not that I know of. Yeah.
Well, he should know everything.
Yeah, I should do. So, like, yeah. But, yeah. Anyway, so this year, I decided, like, what am I going to do? And I decided, oh, I'm going to try and grow the song community. A Song of Ice and Fire, the miniatures game by Simon. Is that right how you say it?
Cool Mini or not.
Like, is that how you say it, Simon? Yeah, Simon. And this was a game I backed the Kickstarter of in 2017, and had recently had a overhaul and, you know, of its rules, and was in a good place, basically. Not a perfect place, but it was in a good place.
And it's not a tier one game, but it's like mid tier. It's not got the reach of a GW game.
No, but you do see
people play it.
Yeah. I mean, it's
like the same kind of level as maybe. What's this? Flames of War, kind of level.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, it's. I mean, to its negative, I've never known a game system to have such problems with supply. Like, that's that game, Song of Ice and Fire, has. Yeah. Well, we're going to call it Song from now on, to shorten
it. I won't. I'll just fuck it up.
Yeah. But
it's because it's an American game, and they try and satisfy the American market first, and then they worry about the rest later.
Yeah.
It was the same with Privateer Press. It was just... So
the UK release date for this game is a year and a half behind where it is.
If it even turns up.
So the players tend to buy things on eBay from America or
Thailand, Singapore, Russia.
Yeah, like
well not Russia
not
anymore.
Russia anymore. Like, yeah, they used to, but like yeah. So anyway, I had decided that I was going to try and grow the community for this, and the success point would be to able to run events at the club that only club players were playing in. There was enough club players to make just an event. That was my intent. And I said...
But you haven't said where the start point was. So what was the player base?
Oh, okay.
It was you and Rid. And
yeah. So Rid... I don't know if he backed the Kickstarter originally. But originally, there was like two of us playing this game. Like, and it was good, but you could see that... and you didn't need to know the IP... of A Song of Ice and Fire, because it's based off the books and set around the second book. So they do have characters that are dead. So you can be Ned Stark, for example, as a character in the game. Though yeah, I guess in the point of time it's put, he's had his head cut off. But spoiler. Right. You know,
in the second book he's alive, isn't it?
You don't need to know anything about Song of Ice and Fire to play the game system, because the rules are the rules. They're not hidden behind, like...
But I would argue that in the same way as the Middle Earth miniatures game, if you don't have an attraction to Song of Ice and Fire, you're not going to play this game.
Yeah.
Because you've got to have something that you want to...
Yeah.
Something that draws you into the game. It's not like... Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
people don't play games to play. It's not chess, is it?
No.
You've got to paint these fucking things.
Yeah,
you've got to enjoy the IP.
Yeah, exactly. So,
well, one thing I would say is, I'll talk about painting. You can buy a unit box for this if you can find one.
You can,
let's say you can find one, and it's maybe like £25. It's all pre-assembled.
Yeah. So there is no building in this system.
But the flip side of that is there aren't much miniature variety. It's a bit like three miniatures in a unit.
Officially, you can use Simon miniatures. Or you can use Dark Sword miniatures. Dark Sword miniatures are metal models, and they are character pieces for basically not designed for a game system in particular. They're just character pieces, but they are at 20mm scale, so they are the same scale.
Are they 20mm?
So,
not 28?
28mm scale, yes. That's what I mean. So I'll get you an example.
I've seen them. They're exactly the same, but
yeah.
Metal.
They
built the moulds off the metals.
I mean, and anyway, so the benefits of it is that it's a very well-designed tournament game system. It's been designed as a tournament game system from the ground up. It's very good as a club game, because scenery is included with like the starter sets, and the starter sets are at a very good price level for what they are.
Yeah.
You know, like
games are quick.
The games are quick, and you, as in two players who know what they're doing can certainly play two games of an evening at the club.
Yeah.
So you're talking like an hour and a half at most for a game, and the scenery you say is 2D. You know, they kickstart when they kickstarted. They did have an optional extra of 3D scenery, but they've never sold them again. So,
well, that's because the game doesn't work with 3D.
No,
scenery.
But you would put it on top of the 2D scenery. So, and
I
then
think wasting your time is
because
it's a tournament game and you can do things like toe scenery.
Yeah,
put your toe into it.
Right.
You can't really have 3D scenery.
No. It's like I guess it's. I've always thought of Song as basically like a modern Warhammer. Like a modern designed Warhammer, in that its unit trays are essentially, they're just wound markers. You have 12 infantry models in an infantry stand and 4 cavalry models in a cavalry unit. And 12 in an infantry unit, 4 in a cavalry unit. And they just represent wounds.
Yeah, but they're only 12 wounds each, aren't they?
Yes.
It doesn't matter if you've got cavalry or infantry.
That, you know, is in the models themselves, you could just play with anything. Like, it wouldn't matter. Like, because the trays are set sizes. In Warhammer, there was the issues of like unit sizes, so you could there wasn't caps on how many units you could have, models you could have in a unit. There was often minimums. There was some, but some units, like literally you could put down 100 models in a unit,
right.
And that made the mechanics of maneuver complicated because the unit was literally getting too big to wheel.
Yeah. It was like a silly horde rule.
Yeah, exactly. And but like Song doesn't have those issues.
So. Moving back away from the actual game,
which is
a good game.
Yeah.
How did you build the scene?
Yeah, because that's the question. Yeah. So okay.
You'd be a good politician, wouldn't you?
Oh my god! Like so, I started off by like saying okay, so and like basically announcing intent, and started getting games being played.
So how did you announce intent? Just at the club?
Yeah. So there was like a messenger group, for Song. And I spoke to people individually, I added them into it, you might like
this. So you started a messenger group, WhatsApp group.
Yeah, well, there was already one existing, but like...
At the club?
Yeah, at the club.
But not with hardly anybody?
Yeah, with hardly anybody in it. And,
so you'd start, the example here, you'd start a Warmaster messenger group?
Yeah, yeah. So,
or a WhatsApp group?
Yeah, so you need a way to communicate with people. And whatever that forms, Discord,
Discord's
WhatsApp,
good.
We use Facebook Messenger, but any of those things would work. So people have got a way to be informed about like what's going on, and the person who's like taking the leads of running it can like communicate with the players.
So then it's down to you to be evangelical at club nights, saying, do you want to play this game? I'll give a demo, whatever.
Exactly.
Can I add you to the group?
Exactly. So you also have to be willing, obviously, to demo, and you have to have the ability to demo, the game system and. And also then, okay, you're trying to remove barriers to entry. So if you want to grow a community, you've got to remove those barriers.
Right.
And so that means that and I've learned something from doing this that I wouldn't do again. So like lessons learned. In terms of like, I did that for this growing this community. Didn't need to do that actually.
So for Song, right,
mm-hmm.
You could buy a 2-player starter set effectively.
Yes, that was the original Kickstarter.
Okay, so you've got everything you need.
Mm-hmm.
To do a 2-player game. So you could do a demo based on that. Warmaster's not so simple.
No. So with Warmaster, I think that the question is, so about starting with 1,000 point game point meetups. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, the game, Warmaster scales very well in blocks of 1,000, and 1,000 points is where you would start it.
Okay, so we'd advise this fella to get two 1,000 point armies?
At least, yeah. He's going to need two 1,000 point armies.
So the minimum, bare minimum is two 1,000 point armies.
Yeah, yeah.
That are relatively balanced. So maybe like Orcs and
Go for a classic matchup. Yeah.
Orcs and Empire.
Orcs and Empire would be the default one.
Although somebody's got to deal with the leadership aid.
Yeah, okay. So, so Orcs and Empire and Chaos.
Yes,
yeah.
Empire and Chaos. Just, don't give somebody high elves.
No, it's like, you need to be obviously at least decent with the rules. So, like, you can't, because people will look to you for the questions, like, that they will naturally have.
Now, one thing I would say, I mean, Ian does a reasonable job of explaining stuff.
Yeah.
And Peter Lamb did a good job, reasonable job of explaining stuff.
Yeah,
you can also watch our videos if you want to see two fucking idiots like playing too quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
But the game isn't overly intuitive, so you are going to have to learn with somebody that maybe has played a few games, or you're going to have to spend a reasonable amount of time watching these videos.
Yeah. If you're trying to teach, the best way to learn a game system is off someone who knows how to play it.
Yeah, for sure.
But if you are starting in complete ground zero, then you are gonna, you're not gonna have that ability. So find someone who knows how to play it. So yeah, you are stuck. I think YouTube is probably the best way to learn.
So with your song, Gabe, you had to learn to use the rule book.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. So I mean,
but it is a much smaller rule
book. Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, and it's modernly written. You know, it's in like it focuses on its keywords.
Yeah.
And with different versions of song, they focused more on defining the keywords better. Yeah, which is fair enough. Yeah, like that's how Song, for example, does its business. Like, okay. It's in like an attachment, so something, an add-on to a unit is essentially the keyword you're gaining, like the ability it's gaining. So when this thing does this, you get that.
Right. Yeah. Mm. So depending on who you're trying to learn the game with to build this scene, if it's just like me and Paul, like it was back in the olden days, mm-hmm. you can use tokens.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, tokens, yeah. I mean, we're only playing with ourselves.
So you could get a pack of 4x2 mil bases.
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah.
40x20 mil.
Yeah, 40x20 mil bases. And write on them.
Yeah, pencil. With a Sharpie.
Yeah, with a Sharpie.
Different coloured Sharpie.
Yeah, like, and there's your armies. You know, like, and the game system would still work. Like, it doesn't, you know, it's in... The with War Master, units have a set size. You know, like, they're on set bases and a set size. They don't actually have to have models on them. You know, that's like, you know, so you could do that quite easily. And me and Barry, like, when we started doing the podcast, that is how we, like...
Well, certainly if we were doing armies we didn't have, testing.
Yeah, exactly. We were like, right,
let's... I'm not going to... There was, like, a point where we did, like, a crazy break two-kick army.
Yeah,
exactly. I'm not doing this with actual models.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be the insanity.
Yeah, exactly. Even, and it would still be an uphill ask, even with now 3D printing armies.
Yeah, exactly. Now, this is the other point. You say, don't be afraid to play with unpainted stuff.
Oh, no, not at all.
Because, like, painted... I mean, War Master people say, oh, don't mind that. I find 10 mil absolutely oppressive to paint. I'd much rather paint 28 mil, generally.
Okay.
Maybe my eyes are getting shagged. Like, it really... Detail's hard to do at 10 mil.
Okay, fair enough.
If you're, all you're doing is, like a contrast paint and maybe a wash and stuff and make drive it cool. But you see these guys find, like, detail on the shields and shields. Oh my god.
Yeah. I mean, it's, yeah, exactly. Like, it's, I mean, I would counterpoint to that I think at that size, painting them you get, like, washes and dry brushes really are your tools to, like, painting War Master miniatures because, yeah, if you're not going to win best painted, like, and people do proper art on this stuff, but I think you can get a good effect quite easily.
I've seen people paint like words. You can't read the words, but they're painting like
exactly, like super detail.
So don't be afraid to play with unpainted stuff. Yeah. I mean, obviously if you want to go into the wide world to like spread it wider to go to events and stuff, you might need painted stuff to kind of get people to draw. Yeah.
Another big advantage you would have with trying to grow War Master, obviously, if you've got access to a 3D printer, or you can buy from a company that, like, does printing for you, is there is so much more choice of War Master armies now than even 3 years ago. So you could easily get hold of, I think, every army nowadays, pretty much. Because this game system has really benefited from 3D printing.
It's still probably not the cheapest army. It's the cheapest system to collect armies for because if you want a decent amount of choice for an army, you're still going to spend 200 or 300.
Yeah.
Whether it's 3D printed or metal or whatever.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So we've established that you could get a couple of armies for nothing. You know, for bases, just basic. Well,
if you're just learning the game.
If you're just learning the game, that's probably a good idea. And certainly you could try before you buy. Like, so for the price of whatever some bases cost.
Well, you could still use the bases. Later.
Yeah, exactly. You're not wasted money. Flock will go over like a pen easy enough. Yeah. So basically you create the ability to do demos and then So I'll give an example. So something I did with this song is that it was like, right, okay, I've been around wargamers enough time now and I've been around like game systems and I started to like get interest. It started to snowball a bit at the club, getting more people were interested, and that couple became six and then eight. I was careful about, like, so in this messenger group of the club players, is okay, we need some more players to make scene, you know, to grow scene. And I was careful about when we started running events, about the externals that turned up, like, what were they like to play, basically?
You didn't want people coming and smashing everybody.
No, were they the right type of player? In terms of, for example, we sought out, at the last London Grand Tournament, there was a 64-man song event.
Uh-huh.
And we sought out the person that got most sporting. So, and then we invited him in. You know, it said, like, you're our kind of guy, because if you can win both sporting at such an event,
yeah,
you're obviously not a dick. You know, like, you know,
probably the opposite.
Yeah, like, yeah. And, like, are you interested? Is where we are, can you commute to that? Are you interested in playing song with us? Because, you know, you're the kind of person that we would want. And that's, so I was careful about who I invited in externally. And these people have now become club members because they're turning up regularly.
So they're relatively nearby then?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, obviously, like, someone like travelling from Scotland, are they, like, to come to us? So, but I was careful about what externals were brought in, you know, into that group, as in, to be the right kind of person. Because, yeah, of course, they can be competitive, but do people enjoy playing them?
Is the social contract.
The social contract. And you've got to ask yourself that in terms of growing a community. Because that's the question you're asking is, are they, not that they're good or they're bad, are they fun to play? And if they are fun to play, you know, they can be like offered in. And then that goes from there. And then they might, oh, I know somebody else, for example, like, who's somebody I regularly play with. And they're like, yeah, and they're like, okay, bring them down, like, bring them to an event. Let's see what they're like.
See, in America, we're doing San Diego, aren't we? Mm. California. I mean, that sounds nice, California, doesn't it?
It sounds hot.
Does sound
yeah, like
smoggy and
yeah.
Hot. They don't have gaming clubs, do they? They have LGSs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So this would be going through your LGS, I guess.
Yes, yeah.
So I'm sure the owner would be able to help you.
Yeah,
be able to put a poster up.
I mean, ultimately, it's not a massive jump of theory to think that a person that owns an independent gaming store, it would rather it was busy with people playing games, because then that would improve custom. Not only custom of the people of those playing those games, but other people seeing people enjoying games and thus more encouraged to play said games.
Yeah, and I've actually heard local game stores have like 3D printers and sell like prints.
Yeah.
Basically, you tell them, you give them, say, I want you to print this for me, and they print them for you. Because, yeah, why wouldn't you? They can't sell you the miniatures because they're quite hard to get, aren't they?
Yeah.
Warmaster miniatures.
Yeah.
They're either second-hand, 3D printed, or from an alternative manufacturer that don't generally sell through
exactly.
LGSs because they're too small.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you don't get Pendragon stuff in LGSs or
Minister
of Ministry.
Yeah. So here's a lesson like that I learned from doing this that I shouldn't have done. I didn't need to do.
What was that?
So we've said in Song of Ice and Fire, they have very good starter sets for an army. So, like, basically the components of that
starter. I bought three.
Yeah. The components of that starter set are much less expensive than they are individually. You know, so
it's probably half.
Yeah, about half, roughly.
Yeah.
You know, now, I'm also quite eBay savvy, and I'm willing to, like, look around and wait for things, you know, like, you know, and take an opportunity when I see one. So I realised that, okay, so barriers to entry would be, like, people not only having the stuff, but if I pick up some starter sets, then I could then offer them out to like people to play for free. So right. So say, okay, this club member's interested. So
like me, I said
yeah.
Starters.
Yeah, yeah.
So you lent me some starters.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, and then I would have the stuff, and then I could like lend it to Barry, for example, and he can give it back to me whenever he wants. And then if he's interested in going to play the game system, and he wants to use painted stuff, then he's going to pick up his own things because he did. You know, I didn't need to do that. In reality, I found that gamers, being gamers, if they get interested in something, are going to spend their money. Or they're going to buy in.
Especially if it's a cheap
one. And it is, yeah, like these, as in the cheapest I've seen a starter set
yeah,
for.
It's going to be Night's Watch, yeah.
About 25 quid. Yeah,
I got one for 30.
Yeah, which is fine. Like, a good price.
The price of a unit.
It's the price of a unit, and there's four units in there.
Plus characters,
plus scenery, plus other product. Stuff.
I think I've got three of them.
Yeah, because they're cheap. Like, and so, as you say, that's what I did. And being like, you've got to realise that in reality, all of us hobbyists, our first real hobby is collecting. Yeah, we're all
hoarding.
We're all collectors. And so I picked up starter sets for all of the factions because I looked around. Some were easier to get than others. Like, obviously, Night's Watch were super easy to get because for some reason they are dirt
cheap. I think they must have overproduced.
I don't know. But they are noticeably cheaper than the other factions. I mean, like...
And they're pretty good. Yeah, the
these starter sets... Like, I set a limit of, like, I would find starter sets for, like, 50 quid. Like, that's where I worked off. And, you know, maybe 55, but not more. And I did manage... And I managed to find all of the factions at a starter set for that. You know, and I was looking for unpainted models. I didn't mind so much if... There was like the scenery. Well, yeah, not that I ever was, but like, you know, that was why I like, because the cards have been updated. You don't have to worry about
cards. Bin fodder now.
Yeah, the bins. Yeah, because the way this game is that it updates digitally the cards and then
on an app.
Yeah,
on an app.
Yeah, and they've done print.
I mean, if
runs.
You were making a game, this is how you'd make it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they've done print runs of physical cards, but ultimately you're going to print these cards that you need.
So you, yeah, the ones you the, and.
If
yeah,
you're going to play with cards, of course.
So yeah, you buy the cards and then they update the cards. And yeah. The cards go in the bin anyway. Yeah, so I mean, and there's no print on demand, so no, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Anyway, but as I say, as a lesson.
So what are we saying here?
So I don't need you don't need to
not
do
what
that.
What we're saying for Mr. Warmaster.
For Mr. Warmaster is that
go on eBay and buy two cheap armies.
Yeah, basically have the ability to have two armies, but then if so, and be willing to like use them as the demos, but I don't think you would need to. Buy armies that you could lend out. I don't think you need to do that. All you need to do is have an obvious way of like of how to tell a new player of where they could get something.
And have enough stuff to do a demo game.
Yes, yeah. So I wouldn't say because upstairs in the loft right now I have those starter sets of those other factions, and eventually they will become prize support for events like that I'm running. Okay. Yeah. So it's in like I won't obviously all I'll either keep them for me. But I've found that in this game system, I've mostly played Lannisters, and I'm still interested in playing Lannisters.
Because you are a Lannister.
Yeah, because there are things in the faction I haven't done yet. Like, right. Things I haven't
like
used.
Like Wizard.
No. Yeah. But also
if... I was Night's Watch, just out of interest, if you hadn't guessed. Cheesy
so,
bastards.
So, the first amongst equals. Yeah, like... But the...
All the thieves and rapists.
Thieves and rapists. Yeah. This ain't the Night's Watch of the TV series. This is the Night's Watch that just survive, basically. Yeah, like it's hard up there. Yeah, like a wall breeds men. Yeah, like and the wall needs men.
Oh,
yeah, hard men. Okay. Yeah. Anyway. But also, be careful what you promise, and be willing, and you need to commit on that promise. So I had said that I would run a song event a month.
I'm not suggesting you do this.
No.
Because that would be madness.
But this has helped how you grow.
Okay, yeah. Well, we can adapt it to this. But okay, you did say one a month.
And I have cut to that. You know, like, and so I'm just going to grab our little trophy shield.
I know I've done one this year.
Yeah.
On January, I think.
Yeah. There we go.
You know, just got the same name on everyone. Reid managed to do one.
Yeah.
Well, was James away?
Well, I wasn't there all the time, yeah. But, like, so far, I really are... Looks like our season champion is going to be James.
So was James away and Thingy playing, Handsome Dan playing...
He's not won every event he's been in.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Is James won?
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Anyway, so...
Does he get to keep this? Is that the prize?
I mean, because I'm doing the engraving.
You're doing the engraving?
Yeah, so I'll explain how this... So I'll explain with...
You're engraving?
Yeah, like, huh?
You're doing it personally?
No, I can't do that.
That's what I thought you were saying.
Yeah, like, as in I'm getting the engraving done.
All right.
But, like, you know, with regards to, like, the events, so I set, like a price limit of, like, £10 a ticket.
Yeah.
You know, and then once I'd paid off, like, the club has a rental fee of, like, the day, and once that had been spent, once that had been cleared... then I would the rest of the money would go on prize support, and I decided like in these events, the prize support wouldn't go to the winner defaultly. There'd always be like an achievements. The way we do it is that the prize support will go out randomly. So basically, once you get given cards, basically lists of achievements, and then you would sign the achievement card that you'd done, like in games. And if it'd be done all of them, it'd sign all of them. They'd go into a big box at the end, and there'd be a mix up, and whoever got drawn out, their
like
card
a raffle.
would a raffle. Okay. Sorry, exactly like a raffle. it's a raffle. Yeah, like would get the prize support, which is quite cool.
That's the way to do it.
Then everybody's interested. Yeah. And you know, some people perhaps don't want to win it, but ultimately, that's their prize. So, for example, like when one person won it, they were willing to let me... They didn't want it, but they were willing to let me buy it back for them. So they cashed it in for money, and I used that again, basically. Right. Yeah, so I'm fine with that. You know, like... So anyway, with regards to... I'm not saying you have to run events and, you know, offer prizes... But if you do run events, that helps grow a community.
Okay.
Because I find that gamers like reliability.
Okay. So, right. We've got the demo games.
Yeah.
And we've got our WhatsApp group or whatever. Yeah. And we're building a community.
Yeah.
And we're getting some interest. And we kind of, like, help. You'll have to point people in the right direction, how to get miniatures or whatever.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So this is where you're getting from. This is the cheapest place. Yeah. So it takes a lot of the hassle about finding miniatures of people.
Yeah.
And then you now need to start pulling that community together.
Yeah.
And the best way to do that would be to have some kind of slow grow league that you play once a month, maybe.
Yeah.
So you say, like, in 2 months' time or 3 months' time, we're going to start the slow grow league. 1,000 points.
Yeah, 1,000 points is the way to start.
And then once you set that deadline, it gives people something to aim for.
Exactly.
And those deadlines are what make people do the painting, if they're going to.
What I've found this year in our gaming club is that other people have tried to do things, but they've... But tried to run events for things, and they've not done very well. As in, they've still run, but like they haven't attracted many people. It's better to try and fail than not try at all.
Of course,
Other people have tried to do things, and they just hasn't seemed to gain much traction. Sadly.
But were they evangelical? Were they going around banging the drum constantly?
I don't know. I mean, everybody has their own methods, but I set what I thought was a realistic like mark of success that I would go for. And so my mark of success is because basically I live very close to our gaming club. I don't want to need to travel hours to go play an event when I can go 2 minutes down the road to play in our gaming club.
Yeah.
Bring the scene to me rather than have to go to it. And I was going to play in my own events. So I was always going to be a playing TO. If there's an odd number, there'd be a buy, and that, but you'll never get more than one buy in terms of as an individual, and that was just the way it was going to be. Song also benefits from having, not a very good, but it does have a tournament, a website that helps you run events.
Okay.
Like, that you have to learn to use, really,
well,
but...
I'm not sure helps is the right word.
Okay, but at least it's a vehicle.
It's
called Song of Ice and Fire Stats, for example. Now, Warmaster obviously doesn't have that.
But you don't need
it. But you don't need it.
You don't need it. Mm-hmm. You don't need it. Just get some, like, Swiss tournament software. Yeah. That's all you need.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're in San Diego. I'm assuming San Diego is a reasonable-sized city. It sounds
to me. Yes, it must be, yeah.
So, I mean, you don't need a lot of people.
No. No.
I mean, a scene is four people is a reasonable scene as long as you're playing regularly.
Yeah, yeah. So if you imagine that, an event is like three games, in terms of in a day, then you only need four people because they all play each other.
Yeah, you get three games.
Anything
more than four people is gravy.
Yeah, so the minimum is four that you need. There is no really upper maximum. So where we've achieved now in like the song events, for example, is that the September one, when I put out the date that it was going to be, because it has to work around when it's obviously got to be convenient to me, as in when I can do it, is that the spaces, they were always 16-man events, the spaces for that went within a few hours.
Right.
Like, because I guess that date fitted a lot of people, who knows.
After the summer, etc.
It just seemed to be a good date for everybody. So, and I was like, oh, so I need more... play it as in I need to up the
space
because
or do you, though?
Well yeah so I did so I upped it to 24 knowing that there's a chance there that there wouldn't be an absolute winner you know, and everyone's okay with that. I basically took a poll. I was like, right, everybody, here's our
situation. Because I'm not going to do enough rounds to have
a winner. Yeah, because there can't be. Right. But like, here's the situation. Like, should we do this? A or B? They went with A. So Song September is a 24-man event, of which 22 players are club players.
But it's not local now.
No, it is. I mean, that's there's no.
So where does it move to?
Well, no, it still is.
We could have had it bigger than 16. Yeah, 16 was just artificial anyway.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I set 16 because 16 50. Is a four-round event.
You've fitted your four-round event. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Right, so we've got our first event here.
Yeah.
1,000 points.
Yeah.
3 months' time.
Yeah.
Then where do we go from that? 250 a month or 250 every other month? Or
I mean, the game can scale to however you want it to scale.
How long does it take people to paint 250 points?
How long? Well, I don't know. Like, how long is a piece of string? Yeah, like, is it in terms of, like, everybody would be quite different with that.
Well, it depends on how much your unit costs, I guess.
Exactly. Well, like, if you're using painting just a simple unit of Chaos Knights or Dragon Ogres, then it's not going to take that long, is it?
You need to get, in a reasonable period of time, from 1,000 points to 2,000 points.
I guess my point to here is that gamers like structure.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, and for example, in, like, and it starts to snowball. So on a club night, we'd put all the song tables together. So this song is played on a 4x4 table, which helps. Yeah. So all of the 4x4...
You could play Warmaster 1,000 points on 4x4.
Yeah, of course you could. Yeah, so you put all the tables playing together, literally touching each other. So everyone's together, you know, like playing, you know, and enjoying each other's company, and that social contract as we talk about.
Yeah.
And then other people...
And helping.
Yeah, other people... Yeah, exactly. Other people are at the club, look over and see, say, a dozen people.
Like, well, let's not go a dozen straight away.
No.
But like, let's say six.
Yeah.
Six in, on some tables on all next to each other.
Yeah.
And all kind of chatting and looking at each other's games.
Yeah, exactly. And then you'd be very welcoming. And so, and you say, like, are you interested in this? Because
they'll come over and look. People do.
Yeah. Exactly. So I give you like a good story example. And he won't. I don't know if he listens, but like he won't mind being mentioned. But like recently, a guy at our club by the name of Mark came back to the club.
Pocock,
yes.
Oh my God almighty.
So he'd been away, you know, for it wasn't living locally, you know, like, you know, in Bristol is where he was living,
right.
You know, like for a number of years, and he's recently come back to Chelmsford, and he came down the gaming club, not, you know, as in like, he's, you know, we used to, this is a member from, you know, a while ago. And
he's been to the LGT playing
4K. Yeah. So like we used to play Fantasy together, etc. So and
he's a monster.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, he's a power gaming monster.
Yeah, but like with to Mark's defense, he's always owned who he is.
Oh yeah, and that's not a problem. No, I mean lots of people are power gamers, but this boy took it to next levels.
He used
to put out such ridiculous armors, you'd just be pissing yourself laughing.
So and he said, "Hi Paul, what's the crack? Oh, nice to see him." And I said, "Okay, I was playing Song against OG Phil at the time." And I said, okay, yeah, like, you want to know what's going on? Because he was, like, looking, I guess, like, see what...
For a game system.
Tournament-y,
hopefully.
Yeah, exactly. Like, imagine he thought, like, War Machine.
Right.
And I said, well, at the moment, a lot of people are playing Song. And this is only, like, 2 months ago. You know, and I said, why don't you play that? You know, like, I could, like, lend you something. And he like what? And he asked his questions. He like absorbed. Like, already started to like Borg assimilate. Like what was going on?
He's a good lad.
Yeah, he's a good lad. And like,
but
and
he's
then,
hard.
Yeah. And then and it was like, okay, cool. You know. Then he goes away. And what does he find cheap on eBay?
Nice watch.
Yo.
Broken his balls. Nice watch.
So and then he starts playing it.
Yeah.
And I said like, oh, jokingly, and then on this, like, on your messenger group, I would say if you can do it, humor is a good way to keep people interested. So for example, on our messenger group, you can have nicknames, can't you? Now I set up a rule quite early on where that everyone would have a nickname,
right,
but you couldn't set your own nickname. So the nickname had to come from somebody else. Okay. And everybody was an admin. Everyone was free to change anybody else's nickname.
This sounds like a chaos.
Well, no, but it's quite funny. It's banter, you know, like in terms of like, I've had derogatory nicknames for quite a while and it's all in good spirit. But anyway, so when I brought Mark in and I was like, all right, his nickname is going to be the Night King, you know, like, because he's here to destroy us all, you know, like, and I said, okay, everybody, this is Mark. He's brand new to the game system. He's an old club member who's come back to the club recently. he'll be smashing your face in about a month's time. Yeah, like, I'll give him that. If you get a win over him, hold it over him, because you won't win again. Yeah, like, and that's exactly how it's going down. Like, yeah, so he's come up with some crazy Night's Watch lists, which are very anti-meta of, like, what our current meta is. So, basically, at the moment, like, our meta seems to be, like, a lot of heavy cavalry. Mark's putting down, like, scorpion war machines, basically.
I was just crushing them at range.
And it's just, like, shooting them to bits. Like, and it's just like, oh. Like, oh,
we ain't moving.
Yeah. And it's like, oh.
You're all dying.
Like, yeah, yeah. So, it's in, like, very anti the current meta, which is... And I could have predicted this in terms of, like, I knew, like... But he was perfect for the... Like, he'd be good in the scene because he's going to win one of these events quite obviously. So. You know, like, and, you know, and his pace of learning is rapid. Like, rapid. is in, like, bloody hell. Like, he's coming up with stuff that, like, no one had thought of. Like,
oh, yeah, yeah. You know, I think the last time I saw him play 40K, he had... It was all guard, all infantry, all heavy weapon squads.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's, yeah. It was just like a 6x4 and his whole table edge was just las cannons. Like, there must have been about 60 las cannon teams.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's just like, turn one, bang! Yeah. Nothing left on the
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
But to fair play to him, he got the models he painted on, they were all tabletop ready. Yeah, he don't mess around.
He knows what he's doing.
And
same way, he knows what he's doing with Song as well. And it's like, yeah, and it's, he, you know, I'm really glad that he took it up because I've always enjoyed playing him as well. Like, yeah, as in, like, you know you're going to get a game out of
him. Yeah, like you say, he plays, like, he's funny, he laughs, and he owns it.
So I guess I'll point to this question here, Robert. Is that if you, by coincidence, then know some gamers of other game systems who you like to play, see if you can get them interested in Warmaster.
Okay, so being evangelical, go out and get them.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I suppose the holy grail is you need to get to a point where you could have tournaments.
Yes.
They don't need to be big tournaments.
No, not at all. We said four.
Four players.
So like as much as always try to use our club as the venue. Club isn't always available because maybe it's booked or they don't have someone who can work.
I don't like it as a venue.
Yeah, it's.
I don't honestly. Yeah, I know.
I prefer
40K or the Danby place.
What I like about it is that it has the bar and it's us and it's, you know, it's not next
it's
to
just, anything. You can't put the, you, we. I don't know if your relationship. I doubt it's better actually if you're the president now. I doubt the relationship with the person you need to be have a good relationship is better.
It's workable.
It's a book. It's but they're always hesitant to let you book. Yeah, yeah. And it's like, look, I need to plan this goddamn thing. Not like you, where you're doing one a month, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, if you're having an event, you need to have, like, 3 months' notice.
Yeah, so I'll give you, you're right. Like, the October event is the only date that the club is available. Not because it's not booked, it's because, like, of somebody who can work it.
They won't allow you to book. Anyway, what I would suggest is... Get notice.
Yeah.
Get a venue like an LGS.
Yeah, square away a venue. You know, like that. So for example, what I had to do is that. So I wanted to use our club when the club wasn't available. We tried an event at 40K. Fine, but you know it's a different town. Like,
it's a lot of travel.
Yeah, exactly. So it's in terms of like obviously you can run events there, but it's not. We live in Chelmsford, and that's Colchester. Yeah, you know, like, so it's not a Chelmsford club anymore.
Well, the events I run aren't Chelmsford events.
But I did find one recently. It's called Geek Retreat, and it's basically a franchise.
In Chelmsford?
Like, in Chelmsford, and it's a franchise, essentially Magic the Gathering.
No, like, well, it's just like a geek
show. Yeah, but it did facilitate.
Yeah, but I know. But they got these, like, there's no table fees, but you got to buy a drink an hour and all this kind of nonsense. Yeah. It's like, mate, we're in 9 hours. I'm not drinking nine
as in, like, exactly. Yeah, as in,
I'll just pay you some money.
Like, yeah, exactly. And that's what I did.
Right, I ain't drinking non-drinks. So, like
dealing with, basically, dealing with them, for example, is that, again, it's like, in business, you've got to communicate clearly, haven't you?
Yeah.
And it's like, they haven't communicated as clear as they could have been. But I've been very upfront with...
So did they say you need to buy a drink an hour?
Well, no, and then I said, well, that ain't going to work, is it?
How do you judge that? So
I said, actually, let me pay you some money. And yeah, everybody here is obviously...
They will drink.
Yeah, we'll drink something and we'll eat your food. But, you know, like, there can't be a tax on like how many they need.
Come on,
Andre,
I'll be sat in the toilet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So it's like
it's sort of for people.
But it's like, but they, you know, is in they as a venue, they're used to card games
or board games
or board games. Yeah. So we're a bit different, and you know, and it's like right, and we've got a workable relationship. We've basically we've done two events there, and we've hammered out a workable relationship. Like me and the me and the person that runs the place, you know, like, and we know where we stand, you know. So okay, that's fine. Like, as in, so the important thing is it's a square A venue, and if it's not reliable, like our club isn't reliable, have an alternative venue that you can go to.
Okay, so we're saying get yourself a slow grow league.
Yeah,
and sometime in the future.
Yeah.
From that slow grow league, get yourself to 2,000 points and get a 2,000 point event.
And
and only you only need to do one or two tournaments a year.
Yeah, exactly. As long as when you deliver on what you say.
Okay,
yeah,
so once you've done your slow grow league.
Be careful what you say.
You don't need to do these forever, slow grow leagues. Just do one.
Yeah.
And then if you get your 6 players or 8 players running, that's perfect. And then you can do your tournaments.
Yeah.
Now he says, so you're doing your one or two tournaments a year.
Mm-hmm.
Says, distance may be a factor.
Mm.
Now, I know distances in America are a bit crazy, and people drive like an hour to go to the shop.
Yeah.
So, but I've travelled many hours to go to events in the UK.
Yeah.
I've travelled to fucking Falkirk.
Yeah.
On a plane.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think Warmaster players tend to be older.
Yeah, they do.
And they tend to be kind of more focused on the kind of game experience rather than winning.
Yeah.
If I could say that. There are some players that like to win. Yeah, yeah, totally. But generally it's not cutthroat.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not a cutthroat environment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you'll be surprised how far people will travel for that.
You would be, yeah. Yeah. If you're giving out a good experience, then you'll be surprised that people will go for that.
And you don't have to have like a massive prize pool.
No.
Not at all. Some custom dice
Exactly. Like if you can find generic things that anybody could use, you know, like, and sometimes you've got to be a bit creative, but, ultimately, you can never knock, like, free models.
I'll tell you what, I've just remembered. I think the first time we won the Triwiz doubles.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, like the
it was
the
a
trophy,
little tiny.
A single Empire soldier, painted gold.
On a little plastic base.
Plastic base, yeah.
Brown
it's a trophy.
Plastic base. And there was only one of them.
Yeah.
And I had to give it to Paul, because I'd only won a single.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, that's all we won.
Yeah, that's all
for
we won.
Winning.
Yeah, yeah.
One between us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it doesn't have to be anything impressive.
No, just
get yourself a Warmaster miniature on some kind of base,
I mean,
painted gold.
Doing a simple certificate, for example.
I don't like certificates.
No, I'm just saying.
I'm not a schoolmate.
No,
I don't
like,
want
a sticker
or certificate.
Yeah, yeah. People like a trophy, but
even a funny one like that.
A funny one, yeah, exactly.
A wooden spoon.
So like one unit of Warmaster models cut up like into singles. Like makes all the trophies you'll ever need.
I think a bigger miniature.
Yeah.
Maybe something.
It's Warmaster.
Bigger than 10 mil.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so you don't need to spend a lot of money on a trophy.
I mean, people might be wondering, like listening to this show, is in like, well, why didn't I do this for Warmaster this year, for example? It's like, sadly, I don't think I would get enough players to make a regular like event.
You can't do a monthly Warmaster event.
No, I don't think it would happen. Yeah, sadly.
What I've learned this year is that you only have so many gaming opportunities, especially tournament opportunities.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've been trying to play Epic, I've played Song, I wanted to go to this Fantasy Fest, and you know, there are lots of things to do.
Yeah.
And you've only got so many opportunities.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm happy doing, maybe I can get to 4 Warmaster events this year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I can run a couple of events tomorrow on a Warmaster event and an Epic event.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you can't do everything.
No, you can't do everything.
So don't try.
Yeah, don't be scared to try, and also, like, for example, like in, you know, my example of growing a scene is that yes, we've got to the heady heights now of events are all club members, we don't need to go external, and get good at promoting yourself. Like, for example, there's a Song East Anglia. Now, East Anglia, for those who don't know, is like a region of the country that we're in. There's a Song East Anglia page, and photos of our events and club nights go on there. So we're constantly self-promoting.
Okay, well, there won't be a Warmaster.
No, there won't be. Like,
San Diego page.
But like, but at the very least, you could put them on the Warmaster Facebook group.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, don't be scared to like have some events. So if you run an event and it's only four players, that's fine. Like, so for example, it got really hot here recently in summer, and the club wasn't available, and so but Geek Retreat was. So like August's song event was just six of us playing in Geek Retreat because that shop is glass fronted. It was very warm. You know, like, I can't control the sun. You know, like, I'm not wrong.
I mean, that is another fair point.
Like, you know, as in, like, so the weather put a lot of people off. And fair play.
Don't run events in August.
Yeah. Well, fact. I don't know. Like, your local weather. Like, yeah.
No, I'm saying because people are on holiday. Yeah. If you're only going to run one event a year, one tournament, don't do it in August.
Yeah.
Do it in, like, October or April or somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, like, for example, when this song event of August was just six of us at the end of the day, like playing in this hot and climate, I didn't take that as a negative because I knew September.
Is that the one Rid won? I'm counting seven. No, it's July, isn't it?
No, James won that one. Won. Yeah, like, so, but because I knew that, like, for example, September 1 is, I've actually renamed it the Grand Clash. Like, as in they're all Clash of Members. Like, this is a grand because...
You know, Clash of... Oh, no,
yeah, never mind. Yeah, like,
joke.
Yeah, yeah. Is that because, you know, it's members. Like... It really, it's date dependent, like, at times. And it's like... But I think, like, the October one, because it's sadly the week after the LGT, it's not going to be... have many people playing in it because they'll be tapped out from the LGT. And that's fair enough. But that's the only day for the club.
Most people can't do back-to-back tournaments week to week. So you've got like family commitments, whatever. Exactly. I go once a month and I can get away with that. So I'm happy with that.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's in, have realistic aims and don't be scared to fail, I guess, is our point here. And
don't give up.
Don't give up.
If it's something you really want to do, you've got to make it happen.
You know, kill people with kindness and, and accept that, everybody you demo it to, it won't be for them. So there have been club players like who started playing song and it wasn't for them. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that.
So there'll be a lot of fantasy players, Warhammer fantasy players, who look at Warmaster as a natural progression
exactly.
and hate the fucking command system and not want anything to do with
it. Because they're used to absolute control. Yeah. You know, like,
and rolling dice to be able to do stuff just seems fucking stupid.
Yeah, yeah, and they will hate that.
Yeah.
Now, and that's fine because ultimately, if you know, they're not going to be.
If you're not going to get past that, you're not going to enjoy.
Not going to enjoy Warmaster. That's okay. I mean, personally, to me, that's its best feature. But it's except that just because you love it doesn't mean the other person's going to love it.
No, and except that your goal doesn't have to be like a 64 player tournament. The goal is. Four-player tournament, I'd be more than happy with. Because you get to play the game you love, and that's what it's all about. And that's why you're doing it.
And yes, don't be scared to be a playing TO, because your hobby shouldn't be organising it for other people. Mm. Yeah,
that is a tough one.
And it's like, I consciously made that choice with Song, is that I would always be a playing TO.
Because, I played in one event this year that I TO'd.
Yeah.
And I didn't play the other.
Yeah, well, so because you're
because I wanted to play the epic
one. Exactly. Like,
because I want to win the league.
Yeah, so yeah, exactly. So I know you do. So like, and that's another podcast. You know, like, and my contribution to the Warmaster community is to run the LGT, and of course there ain't no way that I can be a playing TO in that because it's too big.
Too big, sir.
Yeah, I'll be just trying to make it run, basically, and I will make it run. But it is the at the moment the LGT. Is the biggest Warmaster event that I've known.
So it could be going back to the biggest event since the
I don't know. I don't know.
Like, I'm sure they had big events back in the day.
I'm sure they did, but I wasn't playing them.
No, nor was I.
I was too young,
So anything else do you say to this fella?
I don't think so. I mean, if he has any follow-up questions, then to fire him over to us and we will get around to answering them. But I think we've covered the salient points, and we've used the example that I've got is like of the way it's done, and at times.
Oh, well, I've got one.
Go on.
When you do a demo game, let them win, or at least face in.
If you can.
Or at least don't push their face in.
At times in Warmaster, you're almost like, don't be scared with a demo game to step out of it and just say, okay, let's say that you pass that command test. Because, you can't, for them to have a decent demonstration, you're right, you might need to engineer it a bit, falsely engineer it.
Yeah.
You know,
don't play optimally. Certainly don't do, don't put their face in.
You've got to bring it. The idea of a demo game is you get them interested, not that you crush them and yeah, and they're not interested.
The hardest thing about being a dad is my youngest boy, who's 12, right? He wants me to go hard, whatever I do, game I play, or football, whatever it is, whatever the ball game, he wants him to think that I've given him my best.
Yeah.
So I have to somehow convince him that I've given him my best, and he's still beating me.
Yeah.
So that's what you've got to try and do.
Yeah.
Well, you've got to sell it, that I'm giving you a proper game.
That's because he's 12, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm giving you a proper game.
Yeah.
But you're still winning. And you always say, oh, you know, beginner's luck, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, exactly.
Or at least keep it close, as what I'm saying.
And that's an art form. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And not everybody's good at that. Some people give demo games. I'm not going to name games, but if they gave me a demo game, I'd never play the fucking thing again because you've got to be fucking kidding me, mate. This wasn't even a game.
Yeah, I mean, such as it is, however formal the training was, I learned how to do demo games in the Games Workshop method when I was a trainee manager for them.
He's got his blue shirt or whatever you were back in the day.
Yeah, blue. It was blue. It was because I was trainee. I hadn't got the black shirt yet. But yeah, I mean, it's not hard, is it? You just got to make it appealing. Yeah, in terms of as a demo game.
You're a salesman, aren't you?
Yeah, at that point, you're a salesman.
That's something they've got to do here.
Yeah. You've got to sell it.
You've got to sell War Master.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good fucking game. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
It's an old game.
Yeah.
Obviously.
When I do a game demonstration of something, I'm not scared to change the dice rolls to show the examples of the mechanics. Yeah, let me show you those mechanics of that. Yeah, as in, okay, in this situation, say they just kept rolling blunders, you just got to change their dice rolls. Okay, you passed that test, let's say. You needed to get that. On an average, you would have got that.
Yeah.
Or you did this charge and you should have got 10 hits and you got one. So let's just say you got the average. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because then they can see that they can't lament about their luck all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good. Mm-hmm. Sounds like you know. Sounds good. So. And then hopefully over the course of a year, because it will probably take a year to grow the scene to getting a tournament.
And, have a method of self-promotion and, you can be brash, when you're with, when you're messaging, but be humble when it's in public just make sure that, you involve the right people, I guess. That's something I've been careful of. And for example, so I have this beautiful situation now where the September song event is 22 club players. All of them I'd happily play. There's no bad game experiences amongst that lot.
Right.
And it's just bring it on. And the naturalness of people then will start working out, and it's for example, this shield has 12 spots. That's the season, and it looks like James S is already on 4. He's almost unassailable already. There you go. It's okay. That creates let those natural things happen. Okay. If you can.
Cool. Right, so we're going to call it a day for tonight.
Yeah.
I think that's more than an hour, maybe an hour and ten.
Hour and ten.
So good. We'll try and record one next week. We've got some more stuff to talk about because we've got a busy month. Because Paul's got his event.
LGT.
It's soon because my daughter's birthday is less than a month.
So it's the 1st and 2nd of October. So
tickets still available, no available,
So they are available until the 12th of September, and then that's for all events. Then they'll stop selling tickets.
Okay, so this will go out this Friday. So there'll be about less than a week.
There is 35 tickets sold, but I know there's one or two people who have picked up other tickets for other game systems, but are coming to play War Master. Right. So, and obviously, somebody will be ill.
Somebody will drop out.
It happens. But let's, it still will be the biggest War Master event that I know.
Good stuff.
It's going to be 6 rounds. It's cool.
So we'll talk about that next time or the time after. We'll certainly talk about it before the event.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So this was War Master Podcast episode 172. 72. With Paul and Barry. Good night.
Would you like to know more?